Well, good morning. So glad you're here. It's been a month since I've had the opportunity to preach. So my name is Blair. It was great. I actually loved what had happened over the last month with my friend Mark and Amy, and it's been a good month. So glad you're here this morning and you're a part of the service. I want to tell you, I like to start with something funny. So here you go. One time there's a pastor. He decided his church needs a little bit more money, so he decided he's going to take up another offering. And as part of the incentive, he says to his church, he said, whoever gives the most in this offering will get to pick their three favorite hymns. And so it's a smaller church, and the plate's being passed around, and he noticed a huge roll of bills in the plate. And so he gets very excited, and he notices it's a large amount. And so he stands up and he wants to encourage the church, and he says thank you, and he asks who's given this large roll of bills. And a little old lady in the back raises her hand, and she says it was her. And he says, oh, that's wonderful. Why don't you come on up here, and you can pick out your three favorite hymns. And so she makes her way down, and she stands at the front, and she goes, I'll take him and him and yeah. Has absolutely nothing to do with today's sermon. I just thought it was really funny. And we're sharing. Today, we're going to continue our series on He Is, Therefore I Am. We have spent the whole year so far on this, and we might spend this whole year on it. What we're looking at is who we are, who God says we are, and because of who He says we are, this is who you can say you are. And so you can say, I am this because my Father in heaven has said it. And so this morning what we're going to look at is blessing. And He is a blessing to know. He is the one that blesses. And so because of that, we are blessed. You can say, I am blessed. Yeah, I was just going to say, why don't you say that? Say it. I am blessed. All right, there you go. That's good stuff. You are blessed. Now, I've never met anybody that doesn't like the idea of being blessed, and except we might not always be able to define it. Here's the thing. God's intention has always been to bless humanity. Get this right from the very start. It has always been God's intention to bless humanity. We are His creation. We are made in His image and in His likeness. He wants to bless us, His people, but He wants to bless the people that don't know Him, the people that even would say that they don't believe in Him or even hate Him. His desire is to bless them. It doesn't mean that He necessarily will if they've set themselves up against Him, but He still has a heart for them to bless them. It's His intention. It has always been His intention to bless humanity. The concepts and the realities of blessing, honestly, they pervade both the Old and the New Testament, this old agreement and the new agreement that we have with God. It's all through it, His desire to bless. I'm going to give you a real life example that comes out of the 1700s in the United States. And both these men were alive early in the 1700s and lived to around the mid-1700s. His name is Max Jukes, and the other one, his name is Jonathan Edwards. You may have heard of Jonathan Edwards. He's a famous preacher from that time. But this demonstrates, you'll see. It'll be demonstrated as I explain it. So here we have two men that went away to college. One of them was an atheist. The other was a follower of Christ. Max Jukes was an atheist. He married an unbelieving woman, and he continued in atheism his whole life. Jonathan Edwards was a firm believer in Christ and married a believing Christian woman. Here is how, from what the studies have shown and tracking their lives, here's what we know about them, okay? From the 540 descendants of Max Jukes, remember that number, 540. From the 540 descendants of Max Jukes, that can be traced, 310 lived on social welfare. 150 were criminals. 7 were murderers. 100 were drunkards. And more than half of the women were prostitutes. his descendants in the 1700s, his descendants cost the United States $1.25 million in the 1700s, okay? Now, Jonathan Edwards, remember Max Jukes had 540 descendants. John Edwards has 1,394 descendants, 2.5 times. Of Jonathan Edwards' descendants, 294 became governors. 13 became college presidents. 65 were college professors. 3 were United States senators. 30 were judges. 100 were lawyers. I'm not sure about that one. Just teasing. Is Angie here today? Hi, Angie. Okay. I'm just teasing about that one. All right. 60 were doctors. 75 were army officers. 100 were ministers of religion or missionaries. 60 were known authors, and 1 became the vice president of the United States. In all their time, each and every one of Jonathan Edwards' descendants never cost the United States government one penny. This is the power of blessing demonstrated in the lives of two people. Now, I'm sure there's more to that whole story, but if you want to boil it down to numbers, you can see what happens when God begins to bless people in their generations. As they said, hi, bud. Yeah, bless you. I don't think I've ever met anybody that doesn't like the idea of being blessed.
So what does that say?
It says the stuff I'm saying. Yeah. You could probably do a much better job. Now in that, as I said, I've never met anybody that doesn't like the idea of being blessed, but maybe they can't always define exactly what it means. All they know is that it means something good. I believe very firmly that God has called us, not just CLF, but us as followers of Christ, to be people of blessing, to be blessed, and to bless others. That as a church, we would bless our community with the good news. That as a body, we would bless each other. That husbands, you would bless your wives, and wives, you would bless your husbands. That moms and dads, you would bless your kids, and kids, you would rise up and bless your parents. Biblically, the word blessing means this. It means to enable to prosper. To enable or to cause to prosper. Whenever you say the word bless or blessing, what you're saying is it's a causing to prosper. To enable somebody, to cause them to do well. God's desire is to see you prosper. God's desire is to see each person do well in life. His desire is to bless this church that we would see increase. His desire is to bless our nation. Do you believe that? Do you believe his desire is to bless our nation? I know that you can look at our nation and say there's lots wrong with it. You have to, as a person in faith, you have to land in a spot where you say, regardless of what's happening in political structures and even in spiritual realms, we have to believe that God's desire is to bless Canada. That might not always look the way that our North American mind thinks it should, but his desire is to bless us. His intention has always been to bless humanity. We find that right at the very start in Genesis chapter 1. When God has made Adam and Eve, he says this, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. He blessed them and said these things to them. Adam and Eve were blessed from the very start. What God spoke to them enabled them to prosper. It caused them to succeed in life and their assignment. As God is blessing them, as he's saying these things to them, he is defining who they are and what they will do. That they're made in his image and his likeness, and he's telling them what that looks like to be made in his image and likeness. So God creates them, says, you are made just like me. You're in my image. You're in my likeness. Obviously, we're not God, but we're in his image and his likeness. And then he says, because you're in my image and likeness, he blesses them, which causes them to prosper. And he says, and now this is what it looks like. It looks like this, that you are fruitful, that you increase, that you rule. God's blessing was spoken over them. So he speaks identity and destiny into their lives. He speaks to them about who they are and why they're here. Have you ever wondered? Everybody, I know you've wondered. I don't even have to ask the question. Everyone at some point in time faces these questions in their life. Who am I? Who really am I? Who will I be? Who am I? And why am I here on earth? Right? When you get up to go to work tomorrow morning and you're tired and bleary-eyed, right? And you honestly might think, is this really all I'm here for? You're here for so much more. That is a part of life, absolutely. But you're here for more. God has an identity and a destiny for you. And it's good. Blessing is what imparts identity and destiny into our lives. Blessing is primarily spoken, and it expresses what's in the heart. Blessing is primarily spoken. You can find where actions follow it up, but blessing is meant to be spoken. It says right there, God blessed them and said to them. So God spoke. God didn't have to speak to them, right? He could have just made them know it. Haven't you ever had God just show you things? But instead, God spoke it. The same way that he spoke things into creation. So you have to understand the words that are spoken have power. They carry weight. So God has spoken it. Blessing requires us to speak. And as God spoke it, it would have had an effect on every area of their newly created lives. It was never God's intention for blessing to be separate from assignment. It's never God's intention for blessing to be separate from assignment. We often try to carry out assignments separate from God's blessing, and then we ask him, right? We start things and then say, please, God, bless this. But it was never God's intention for it to look the other way, for blessing to be separate from assignment. As a follower of Christ, who you are is never meant to be separated from what you do. Never meant to be separated. Adam and Eve, of course, failed in the assignment that they had. And as a result, cursing was also released. Blessing and cursing being opposites. And while it's God's intention to bless us, his humanity, we are now a part of a world where we live under blessing or cursing. Within your life, you can have areas that are fully and completely blessed and areas that are not. And so if blessing is means to cause to prosper, if that's what blessing means, then cursing at a minimum is the inability to prosper. But many times what cursing actually does is causes poverty instead of prosperity. Let me just stop and be really clear. Because I know in our North American mindset, when I say prosperity, we're all thinking bank accounts. I don't mean that. That is a piece of it. But I don't mean that. When I say prosperity, when God blesses us, he means in every area and aspect of our life. He desires us to be prosperous in every way, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally. He desires for us to prosper, to do well. Here's the idea in the Hebrew culture when they would talk about blessing. The idea behind the word was this saying, may you have a long and pleasant journey. That sounds nice, right? May you have a long and pleasant journey. So what does cursing do? Cursing causes the journey to be the opposite of that. It causes the journey to be shorter than it should be, and it causes it to be quite unpleasant. Have you not experienced those things in your life? Just me, okay. All right. And Angela even more. You are here on this earth to be blessed and to be a blessing. You can't earn that. You don't deserve it. You can't work towards it. You can position yourself to receive it. People in Christ are meant to prosper in every way in life. We're meant to prosper in every way. Relationally, we're meant to love. Understand, love, to love other people is a blessing. So relationally, we're meant to love others, even those that hate us. Intellectually, we are to know the mysteries of God. As a pastor, I'll be honest, I've run into all kinds of times where people say, like, I don't know enough. Meaning, like, and they don't know enough about God. They don't know enough about the Bible. And the fact is, that would be true of any of us, because God goes beyond what we can understand or comprehend, right? We are all always in a process of trying to know him more. The simple fact that maybe you didn't do well in academic school doesn't mean that you can't know the Lord as well as somebody that's got PhDs in theology. You can know the Lord. It's a part of being blessed in him. We're meant to emotionally live at peace with others. We're meant to live at peace with others, including ourselves. We're meant to live at peace within ourselves and with ourselves, with the choices we've made and the things we've done, that we surrender them to Christ and we find peace with him. We're to live at peace with those that are constantly trying to move us out of peace. You've got those in your life, don't you? We're to live at peace with them. What does that look like? That looks like you staying connected to Jesus and letting him deal with the person that's always trying to move you out of peace. So let me ask you this. If blessing is always spoken, and if blessing is to enable or to cause to prosper, do your words on a daily basis, do your words cause other people to do well in life? Do your words cause other people to do well? Your spouse, your kids, your employees, your boss, your coworkers, other students. Do your words cause other people to do well? Blessing today is still imparted through our words. It still imparts identity and destiny. And the fact is, cursing also happens the same way still today. Proverbs 18 and 21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death." That's an incredibly encouraging and hard scripture all at the same time. You can speak life. You can speak life, but you also have this incredible potential, each and every one of us, to speak death over other people. We are called, though, to speak life over one another. We're called. This is meant to start first and foremost in the home. Parents, you're called to speak life over your kids. Grandparents, you have this incredible opportunity to bless not only your kids, but your grandkids. What does that mean? It means that you say things like this. You tell them that they're well received here on earth, that they were wanted and desired, that they were born exactly who they were supposed to be when they were supposed to be born. Within this room, there will be some of you that think, I should have been born at a different time, 20 years ago or 100 years ago. The truth is, God doesn't make mistakes. You were born exactly when you were supposed to be born. Some of you in this room would think, well, I'm supposed to be, I wish that I was something other than what I am. Whether that's gender, which we see a lot of confusion around that in our world right now, right? Blessing is the answer to that. When God made them, he blessed them. When God had you in mind before the foundation of the world, he called you male, he called you female. You are who he wants you to be. And so you talk about the fact that they're well loved, that they are exactly who God wanted them to be. I understand that when you say that, you might think, yeah, but my kid does things I don't like. Isn't it amazing that when you look at the Bible, didn't we do a whole lot of things God doesn't like, but he still wants to bless us? Blessing doesn't mean that you don't bring truth and correction. You just do it in the right context, the context of wanting to bless them. Because what's the purpose of teaching them right from wrong is so that they choose right. Why? So that their lives can be blessed. So that they can prosper in life. Not just because the thing they do annoys you. Right? So you speak blessing over them. Speak over your kids, your grandkids. Speak over them that they will have friends, that they will be well received wherever they go, that when they go to school, that they'll be leaders in their classroom, that other people will look to them and want to know what they have to say about things, Why? Because the Spirit of God is on them. And the Spirit of God knows all things. So you speak God's favor over them. Speak God's intelligence over them. That they can learn and that they will learn and that they'll be at the top of their class. Yeah. There you go. More than that, learning comes easy to them. How many of you were told that you couldn't learn? Is that a blessing or a curse to you? See, you can look at it and say, but the reality is that they are struggling to learn. Great, okay, I understand reality. Blessing would say you speak over them what God would say is true about them, not what man says. Do your words cause other people to prosper? As believers, we need to speak blessing over each other. Husbands and wives need to bless one another. Moms and dads, you need to bless their kids. Within this context right here, we should speak words of blessing to one another, to cause one another to do well in life in every single way. I'm going to share something with you that has to do with blessing. It's going to just be feel like a bit of a rabbit trail. But this is probably one of the greatest things I've learned in marriage. And I've learned lots because Angela had lots to teach me. But listen, husbands, I really want you to pay attention. And just pay attention. Here's what I found. Generally, men don't get this. More women tend to, but it's not always like that. I don't want to generally just break it down into genders, but so I'm speaking in a generality here. Blessing, okay, so we have to speak blessing. Our words carry life and death. So many times in relationships, especially in marriage, but in any kind of relationship, without even realizing, sometimes we absolutely do it on purpose, but many times without even realizing, we are communicating death towards people without understanding that we are. This is most often demonstrated in marriage. Here's what I'm trying to get at. This is a way for you to know it and understand it. Within any piece of communication that's happening, and I live in a house with 5 women. There's a lot of communication going on. Actually, more than that now that we're living with the Pollitts. But I mean, right? In any piece of communication, there's 2 things happening. There is whatever topic you are talking about. Men tend to communicate mostly in topical areas. But there's also whatever relational messages are happening beneath that. Topical and relational communication is happening in any kind of back and forth. Let me give an example from my own marriage. I tell people this story quite often because it illustrates it so well. I love NFL football. Okay, I love watching Sunday afternoon football. And years and years ago, after church was done, I was laying on the couch. I'm watching football, and I'm flipping through games, and Angela, and our garbage day back then was Monday, and Angela says to me from the kitchen, "Hey, Blair, can you take the garbage out tomorrow?" And I went, "Uh-huh." I have no clue what Angela's asked me, right? What I know is the next day the garbage didn't go out, and Angela was not happy about that. Okay, so Angela's communicated something. I've communicated back, but I wasn't paying attention. And so Angela's upset that the garbage didn't go out. And so I say, "I'm really sorry. I just didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry that the garbage didn't go out." And Angela says to me, "You don't understand." And I'm kind of wondering why she's upset as she is, because it's just garbage. And so I said, "I don't understand why you're so upset." And Angela says, "You don't understand. It's not about garbage." She says, "It's not about garbage." And I'm like, "I'm pretty sure it is about garbage. I'm pretty sure. You asked me to take the garbage out. I didn't take it out. I think we're talking about garbage." And Angela says, "No, you don't get it. It's not about garbage." And I'm like, right? Okay. And here's where things often go wrong in marriages or communication. Because right there, the temptation in somebody living in the topic is for me to say, you're crazy. Like, you're crazy. You're just wrong. It is about garbage. That happens in marriages more than you know. Right? The person that's stuck in the topic just says, no, you are wrong. And then you're into a whole different problem, I'll be honest. And so I'm saying to Angela, I'm like, I don't understand. And Angela's standing there going, yeah, you do not understand. Because in Angela's mind, she's thinking, you can't really be this dumb. She's thinking that. Like, how can you not understand that this isn't about garbage? And on my side of things, I'm thinking, I don't understand how this isn't about garbage. Okay? And do you see, now this is like a trivial example, but this happens in marriages on deeper levels all the time. And so finally, and here's where you can learn something, fellas. And I honestly think I just stumbled into this, so I don't take any credit for it. When Angela said it's not about garbage, instead of saying you're wrong, I finally asked her the question, if it's not about garbage, then what is it about? Because I'm trying to understand what, come on, crazy lady, help me understand this. And I'm sure Angela in her head is like, are you seriously this dense that I have to explain this to you? Okay? So, see what I'm talking about? In those moments, cursing is right there at the doorstep waiting to happen. If I look at my wife and say, you are crazy, and she looks at me and says, you're stupid, you just don't get it. Cursing is waiting to happen. Instead, I say to my wife, I say, if it's not about garbage, then help me understand what it's about. And she says to me, I asked you to do something. You said you'd do it, and you didn't do it. And that tells me that you don't care about me. That I can't rely on you. And I need to rely on you. I need to know that you care about me. Honestly, in that moment, I stood there and went, oh, it's not about garbage. And so in that moment, too, I then said to my wife, I said, I'm so sorry. Like, I never wanted to tell you. I never wanted to send to you the message that I didn't care about you by forgetting about the garbage. I'm so sorry that's what, you know, my lack of listening communicated to you. And Angela said, it's okay. Sorry, you know, I forgive you. And then I think she said, it's okay, it's just garbage. And but I think by that point she knew that that was going to make me go, oh my gosh. Do you see it? Okay, topical and relational communication. Life and death. You have the opportunity to change how your marriage looks, how your relationships look, by understanding how communication works. I mean, we talk about it all the time, that one of the greatest demonstrations of love, it is the greatest demonstration of love in all of humanity, in all of history, is Christ upon the cross. So we understand that you know, actions and words mean something to us, and yet then we get stuck into these topical things. So here's when I use topical and relational, here's how you can go home and use this. Is right when you might want to pick when you do this, but you know, if the other person, if your spouse is stuck in that topic, you just say to them, can we just pause our conversation for a minute? Because we seem to be coming at things from different perspectives, the topical and the relational. I need to talk about the relational. Okay? And then it should open the door, hopefully opens the door, right, for you to begin to communicate at a different level, at heart levels. Cursing waits to happen. Many times we do it unintentionally, unaware. So in that, fellas, your wives are not crazy. And ladies, your husbands are not stupid. You're all like, I have to think that one over. I know. I'll tell you, I'll guarantee you this. If you work at this, if you learn this, the way that you communicate with your spouse will improve significantly. the way that you communicate with your kids will improve significantly. With a boss or a coworker that's difficult. You know, I generally don't find that people get up in the morning and think, I can't wait to make everybody else's life miserable. But we all encounter those people at some point in time, right? That we think that's what they're out to do. The fact is that there's things missing in their life. I would identify it as blessing, identity and destiny. They don't know who they are or why they're here. That they're actually here to be blessed, to prosper in this life and in this world. We have to be intentional about blessing. The fact is, though, is that we're usually unintentional about cursing. It comes out of our weakness or our pain, a place where we're most often blind to the truth of what we're doing. So blessing and cursing is imparted by words. If you grew up in a home where things were spoken over you that are less than ideal, that did anything but bless. So, you know, maybe you were told that you were stupid. Maybe you're told that you're ugly and no good. Maybe you're told that you'll never amount to anything. Maybe you're told that you were just here to be used or abused. And maybe that was all followed up with the demonstration of what that looks like. The fact is that if that's the home you grew up in, it would have brought cursing into your life. And so even now in Christ, you might find some trouble thriving or prospering mentally or emotionally, spiritually, maybe physically. It imparted into your identity, your value, into your destiny, why you're here, things that are not, that isn't a message that God would have for you. God desires to bless his creation. And he desires us as his people to do the same. So instead of being launched into life, you might feel like you're starting the race of life a lap behind everybody else. Some of you here feel that way. You feel like you are behind where everybody else is in life. And you're working harder just trying to catch up and even be in the race, let alone to win. And yet, we are called to do well. And so instead of being able to prosper, you might feel like you just have to work harder than everybody else just to reach the minimum. And after surrendering your life to Christ, you might find inside that there is conflict going on. You know you're loved and you know you're forgiven, but you still think and believe that nobody could ever really love you. Lots of Christians walk around with this kind of baggage, that Jesus absolutely died and rose again to address. It's the whole purpose. One of the deep purposes of why he came. It's not the whole purpose, but it's one of the purposes of why he came and he lived the way he did. It's why he hung around with sinners and spoke good things to them, because his desire was to bless them. You see, it isn't your lot in life to just to carry the burdens that you have until you get to the other side. Jesus desires to set you free right here and now. I might have forgotten. Galatians 3 and 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole, meaning a cross. The good news for each and every one of us today is that Jesus became the curse for us. The identity and destiny of your heavenly Father is actually what is true about you. It's what's true about you, what he says. For example, Psalm 32, 1 and 2, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. You are a forgiven child of God. You're forgiven. You are adopted. You are free from sin and now made right with him. You're dead to sin and alive in Christ. And because of that, you can walk in complete victory and freedom. Because of that, you can receive his Spirit in fullness and know him and walk in his ways, because your sins are forgiven. Your Father hears you when you pray, and he responds. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to bless you. He's able to bless you. Come on, right there, that's a roadblock for some of you. You think there's all kinds of reasons in your life that God can't bless you. God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Well, that's a scripture to rest your life on right there, isn't it? See, we so often feel like we are insignificant or insufficient in this life. And the truth is, in our own way, like in our own flesh, we are. But in Him, He's able to bless us abundantly. All things, at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. That is a promise for you. That's what it means for God to bless you. You see, He's already convinced that He wants to bless you. He's convinced He wants to bless you right where you are, with all the good and all the bad that's in your life, with the good things you've done, the bad things you've done. He wants to bless you. He's convinced of it. He's able. It isn't dependent upon you. You are well loved. You are highly favored by your Heavenly Father. He wants to use you to make a difference in this world. He wants to use you to bless others. It's simply not the truth that you're not good enough or smart enough or capable enough to be used by Him. It's your destiny. Identity and destiny. It is your destiny to be so filled with Him that it overflows out of you and blesses the world around you. To be fruitful and to multiply. You are who your Heavenly Father says you are. You're blessed. And you can do well in this life for His name's sake. So, this is what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to speak blessing over you, okay? So, I'm going to invite you to stand. Go ahead, stand. It's best to stand while you're being blessed, isn't it? I don't know why. I just figure you need to change positions. Hey, John, can you come on up on the guitar? Oh, there he is. Hi, thanks, John. Okay. So right where you are, I'm just going to invite you to close your eyes. Best you can. I know there's kids around and maybe they're being busy and that's fine. But best you can, close your eyes and begin to focus on Jesus. I'm going to bless you. Hear this morning. You are exactly who the Father intended you to be. He designed and created you before the foundation of the world. You are welcome and wanted in this world. He knew you before He made the foundations. He knew your name. He knew who you would be, where you would be born, and what you would do. The Father has plans and purposes for you alone, and they are good. Because of the blood of Christ, all of your sins are forgiven, and all of the cursing has been released from your life and your body, and you are now able to come into the full blessing of your Father. Come now into the full blessing of your Father. You are well loved, you are highly favored, and you will find that God moves your life forward with ease as you rest in Him. Position yourself to rest in Him. Know this, that the Holy Spirit lives within you, that He goes with you everywhere that you go. And because of that, you will be well received everywhere you go. Other people will want to talk to you. Other people will want to hear what you have to say. You will know what to say and when to say it because the Holy Spirit will lead you. You hear His voice. You hear His voice. You know Him, and He knows you. The Holy Spirit will use you to do the impossible, the miraculous. It isn't reserved for just a special few. It's reserved for those that are in Christ, each and every one of us. He desires to bless you, to cause you to prosper in every way. You will share Jesus with others without fear and with complete love. You will love others, you will serve others, and you will call things that are not as though they are because you are a person of faith. And because you're a person of faith, the miraculous will just happen around you. The supernatural will become the natural way of your life because you are blessed in Him. Know this, that the best days of your life are ahead of you, not behind you. because even as you get older, you are moving towards an ultimate destiny of being with Him forever. So you can rest in Him. You can know that He is faithful even when you are not, that He is good and always loving. Know this, that He loves you, regardless of the good or the bad that you've done. He loves you. He calls you son. He calls you daughter. You are His and His alone. Father, I ask now that you wash away, that you break off cursing in my brothers and sisters' lives, in my life, God, that we would come into the fullness of the blessing that you have for us. God, that we would prosper in every way as your people. May it be, God, may it be. Because God, I just believe so firmly that you desire to bless Campbell River. But God, that beyond Campbell River, you desire to bless Vancouver. That God, you desire to bless British Columbia. You desire to bless Canada. God, your heart is for our country. And so, Lord, we ask that you come and you pour out your Spirit upon us, that we would walk in your ways and know you, God. Yeah. Lord, may we know you. Thank you. God, may you be with us. Go with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. You're a great church. You know what? I love you. let's worship for